A famous author once wrote the following, to which I'm sure we can all relate. I do not understand what I do. For what I want to do, I do not do. And what I hate, that I do. And he goes on to say, I have the desire to do what is good, don't we all? But I cannot carry it out. For I do not do the good that I want to do, but I do the evil that I do not want to do. And worse of all, this I keep on doing. Can you guess who the author is? It's the Apostle Paul. It's from the Bible. Isn't this so true for all of us? That we so often know exactly what the right thing is to do, but somehow we just don't do it. I know I shouldn't have that extra helping of peppermint crisp tart that my wife makes, that I love so much. But I just take it anyway. Can't help myself. I know I should get up earlier to spend more time with God, my first fruits. But I don't do it. I'm lazy. You know, excuses. Oh, I went to bed a little bit later than I should have yesterday evening. I allow myself to lie in a little bit. We know what the right thing is to do. But why is it so difficult for us to do it? The Bible gives us that explanation. Because we're all born in sin. And because sin is our master. Romans 5, verse 12. I think you've got it there, Cebu. There we go. Thank you. Romans 5, verse 12. Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned. So who is this one man that brought death into the world? I'll say thank you, Jan. This is Adam. Hy het een punt uit die sonnaskool uit. Adam. Adam is the guy, the one man that brought sin into the world. And as a consequence, we are all born sons and daughters in Adam. In Adam, there is sin and condemnation. And through Adam, sin is our master, and sin rules over us. In the Old Testament, the Israelites had to keep on sacrificing animals in brutal slaughter and bloodshed as a constant reminder that sin only brought death, destruction, and condemnation. Because we were born in Adam, we were all born condemned. The phrase, in Adam, that exact phrase, in Adam, only occurs once in the whole Bible. But it doesn't need to occur any more, because that one specific scripture says everything we need to know about what it means to be in Adam. 1 Corinthians 15 verse 22, you don't have that verse. 1 Corinthians 15 verse 22 says, for as in Adam, we all die. Straight, short and sweet. In Adam, there is only death. There is nothing else. That's the only in Adam scripture in the Bible. So there is no other end and no other hope for us when we are in Adam, but death and destruction. So that paints a bleak picture, but there is hope. The Apostle Paul gives us hope to escape this mastery of sin in our lives. In Romans 5:16, and the free gift is not like the result of that one man's sin, one man being Adam. For the judgment following one trespass brought condemnation for all of us. But the free gift following many trespasses brought justification. Who is our free gift? Our free gift is a person, the capital P. That is Jesus. Jesus is our free gift. His sacrifice on the cross and his victory over sin and over death is our free gift. And with that free gift, we were bought and we received justification. So when we receive Jesus as our Savior, we are given the free gift of justification, which means that we are in right standing with God and that we go to heaven when we die. And here's the important thing. We move from being in Adam to being in Christ. That's the transition point in your life, when you are no longer in Adam, but you are now in Christ, transplanted. The implications of moving from in Adam to in Christ, however, is not only about what happens to you when you die. It's not only about what happens when you get to the afterlife. It's about the here and the now and living a godly life. It's about the new nature that you have now that you are in Christ. It's about a whole new set of truths that now apply to you when you are in Christ. You see, all the truths that applied to you while you are in Adam is no longer true of you. Those are now lies, because you now live under a whole new bunch of truths. Romans 5 verse 17 says, if because of one man's trespass death reigned through that one man, Adam again, much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. So living this new life in Christ must look different than leading our old life in Adam. Like I said, what was true of us while we were in Adam is no longer true of us when we are in Christ. Being in Adam and being in Christ are opposed to each other. You cannot be both. You can only be one or the other. Oh, you guys almost missed out. Almost two pages here. So you would have seriously missed out on an incredible page right here. But I've got it back. You cannot be both. You cannot be in Adam and in Christ. Jesus himself said of this in Luke 11 verse 23, that whoever is not with me is against me. And he also said in Revelations 3 verse 16 of the church in Laodicea, he said, you will be spit out from my mouth because you are lukewarm. So you are not fully in Christ, which means you're not in Christ. And I will spit you out. So there's no lukewarm. You can't be a little bit between in Adam and a bit in Christ. It's an either or situation for us. Now the phrase in Christ, on the other hand, where in Adam only occurs once, in Christ occurs more than 90 times in the New Testament. See the opposition there again? How awesome is that? So looking at some of these verses reveals amazing truths and some wonderful promises and pictures for us in how our lives will look if we are in Christ. You don't have these scriptures, Sabu, so I'm just going to go through them. 1 Corinthians 15 verse 22 says, for as in Adam, that's the scripture I used earlier, For as in Adam we all die, so also in Christ all shall be made alive. How awesome is that? We live through Christ. Romans 3 verse 24 says, we are justified through the redemption that is in Christ. So we are justified and redeemed in Christ. Romans 8 verse 1 and 2. No condemnation for those who are in Christ. For the law of the Spirit has set us free in Christ from the law of sin and death. So you see, sin is no longer our master. That is an old truth. The new truth is that we are free. Romans 8 verse 39. It's another fridge magnet verse. For nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ. It's impossible to separate us from God's love once we are in Christ. Nothing can separate us from that love. 1 Corinthians 1 verse 2. To the church in Corinth who are sanctified in Christ. We're also sanctified when we are in Christ. We are clean, ceremonially clean, like the Israelites had to do. 2 Corinthians 1 verse 21. It's okay, guys. I've only got 84 more verses to go through. 2 Corinthians 1 verse 21. God establishes us in Christ. Okay, I'm kidding. I'm not going to go through the rest of the 86. So, just close your eyes for a minute. I'm standing in front and I'm going to check who's not closing their eyes. Eh? You are going to get a red cross. Just let that sink in for you personally. That's your new truth. All of these things that I've mentioned, these are your truths now. It is your truth that in Christ you are made alive. It is your truth that in Christ you have been justified and redeemed. It is your personal truth that you are no longer condemned, but you are set free in Christ, free from sin. It is your truth that nothing can separate you from God's love for you in Christ. You are sanctified in Christ and you are established in Christ. And that's only a small set of the new truths that is true and applicable for you now that you are in Christ. How amazing. Don't you just want to fall on your knees like that song said, fall before God's all, that He redeemed you from the miry clay that your life was. So like I said, I could go on and also quote the other 86 verses. I'm not going to do that. Listing all the wonderful pictures and promises for what it means for us to be in Christ. But you get the idea. Romans 6, verse 13. Now this is where it gets real for us. Do not present your members to sin as instruments for unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and your members to God as instruments of righteousness. Apologies. My ESV version says the following: do not offer any part of yourself. Okay, so it's your choice. You can offer it. Do not offer any part of yourselves to sin as instruments of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God who have been, to those who have been brought from death to life, and offer every part of yourself to God as an instrument of righteousness. So like I said earlier, it's not only about what happens when you die, but it's about what you do and how you apply this new set of truths to your life. So now you need to choose daily to offer yourself as instruments of righteousness for God. So again, it's an either-or situation. You can either be an instrument of righteousness, or you can be an instrument of wickedness. There's no middle ground. When we were in Adam, we had no choice in this. Sad, isn't it? Even through the best intentions, we were still instruments of wickedness while we were in Adam. Because we didn't have the free gift of right standing with God through Jesus. And sin was our master, and we could only ever be instruments of wickedness. But this is where our lives now look different when we are in Christ and no longer in Adam. Sin no longer has dominion over us. And now we have the power through Jesus to say no to ungodliness and sin. And we have the power to choose not to offer any single part of ourselves to instruments of wickedness. What an amazing privilege we have to now say no to sin. We are no longer slaves to sin. So I've used the following scripture many times. I love this scripture. It's one of my favorites. It's one of my favorite empowering scriptures. And I always try to work it in. So here it is. Are you ready? Hold on to your seats. Titus 2, verse 11 to 12. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people. Who is the grace of God that has appeared and brought salvation? It's Jesus. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people. But what else does He have for us? What else does He give us? He trains us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions. So He tells us and He trains us to say no to the things that matter to this world and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age. Again, tying it back to my earlier statement, what happens when you're transplanted from in Adam to in Christ is not only about what happens to you when you die, but it is about living a daily life saying no to sin, training us to renounce ungodliness, renounce worldly passions, to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives now in this present age. So just let that also sink in for you for a moment, what that means to you. While you were in Adam, before you received that gift of grace and salvation, sin was your master. You were an instrument of wickedness, and you had no power to choose otherwise. But now that you've been transplanted in Christ, you've gained the grace to say no. Sin is no longer your master, and it has no dominion over you. That is your new truth. The word instrument in the Greek, the verb means to be busy about. And we see that Jesus Himself said in Luke 2 verse 49, I'm reading here from the New King James Version, and Jesus said to them, "Why did you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my Father's business?" We are all instruments of righteousness, and we are all called to be about our Heavenly Father's business. And the noun for instrument is a tool for offense, or war. So again, ties back to what I've said a number of times. You can either be a tool for Satan or you'll be a tool for God. There is no middle ground. John 15 verse 5. I think I've got that one. John 15 verse 5. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. But apart from me, you can do nothing. Apart from Jesus, we cannot do anything. We cannot be instruments of righteousness unless we remain in Jesus. Unless we press into Jesus. And unless we get our nourishment from His Word and from His presence, we are unable to do anything. Galatians 5, verse 16 to 18. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit. Again, you see the opposition. And the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other, to keep you from doing the things you want to do. Like Paul said in the beginning, he cannot do the things that he wants to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. You are not under sin. Just making sure I'm not skipping a page. I don't want you to miss out again. We see the opposition again between the flesh in Adam and the Spirit in Christ. We need the Holy Spirit in order for us to be instruments of righteousness. We need the seal of the Holy Spirit to help us to say no to our passions and the desires of our flesh. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17 and 18. I close with this. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. We are in Christ, therefore we are new creations. The old has gone and the new has come. That's our truth. Are you new? Do you feel new? I hope you do. Because that's God's truth for you. Are you in Christ this morning? Have you been reconciled to God this morning? Are you alive in Christ? Are you free in Christ? Are you redeemed in Christ? We heard Stefan's message last week about holding fast. In challenging times like this, Jesus invites us to hold fast in Christ. If you're struggling with COVID, if you have health issues with you, your family, your circle of loved ones, economic pressures, hold on in Christ. In lockdown, when things become hard and you can't see your loved ones, oh, thank Jesus we are out of that for a little bit. Hold on in Christ. We don't know what's yet to come. Hold on in Christ. We cannot hold on. We cannot remain standing unless we do so in Christ.